Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Screw podcast with Felicia Rose and Aloff.
Sorry.
What we're gonna sound like when we're 65 if we keep smoking weed like this?
But I already sound like, I feel like.
No,
this is clogged. Useless sack of shit.
I hate when they clog.
I gotta cut the vapes anyways. I feel like they're not so good.
So I was just having this conversation the other day. I feel like I can smoke a vape for like a week. And by the end of the week, I feel like it's not getting me high anymore.
Yeah. I think I at one point I was only using it right before bed because I don't like to smoke in my room. And I think I want to go back to that if I do use it. Just because, like, I don't know. It's become, like, just too oral fixation-y. I don't know. I don't really want to smoke
anymore. Yeah, because then you're just hitting it, you know? It's not, like, meaningful. I mean, like, it's so stupid because we know, like, most of, like, drug use is always, like, ceremonial, right? Like, it's, like, you're, like, lighting the bowl, you're grinding the weed, you're rolling the blunt, you're filling the bong.
Yeah. All I'm doing on this is pressing a button. Yeah. It's not, like, it's the same. Sucking.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
It does leave a very limited, like, expanse. So,
and it's also like it's up in my marionette lines, all that shit.
What does that mean?
All the little like the lines around your mouth if you're a smoker, like if you do a lot of sucking, the little lines, you know.
Okay.
Like on your lip line, you know.
Why is it called marionette line?
I don't goddamn know. Yeah. Don't ask me questions.
I love it. you always teach me new terms that I was like, I'm like, huh. What's the origin of that?
I have no idea. I have an itchy throat because I was on my roof. I'm sorry, everybody. If you hear me scratching it.
You sound good, though. You sound sexy. Hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. So what's up?
Yeah.
Tell me what's new.
We haven't talked since the shmush-mush. Well, we've talked. I just mean on here. Yeah, so I'm currently having, like, my first real period since, like, my real one, and I feel like I've lost more blood now than I did through the process. Like, I am dying. It's day 7. Can we stop? Like,
is
I'm so iron
you, like,
deficient.
Like, dizzy and stuff?
Yeah,
and, like,
I've been faint and dizzy and, like, sleeping.
Headaches?
So my migraines have been insane. Yeah, just like all the bad, but like times 80. It's just so bad. I just would like that to go away. But
and everything
going...
is kind of, this is expected. Like,
yeah. So, you know, more often than not, your first at least like 2 to 3 periods after an abortion are going to
be
either heavier or weird or like longer. So, yes, this is to be expected. I am happy it's happening now. I'm going to a destination wedding at the end of the month, and I'm not trying to be fainting in fucking 90 degree weather. Ugh. So
not
good. So yeah, that's pretty much the update. I've been having lots of sex. I've been doing lots of videos. I've been I made someone come from a blowjob the other day, and that's not normal for them. They don't really do that. That made me feel nice.
Oh, that's nice. That's
nice. I was like, honey, my jaw only has like 1 minute left. And I didn't say that, but in my head, I was like,
yeah,
Jesus
that,
Christ.
That helps the process a lot.
It wasn't that, it wasn't even that long. It's just honestly like, it's rare for me to commit to a long blowjob where there's no stoppage. Just because, like, my jaw has been broken before. Like, I don't have a lot of...
Excuses.
Yeah. No. And also, I'm 37. Do you think I want to be facing downward with a migraine and a broken jaw? Sounds not so good. So if you're not a quick comer, then it's gonna, you know, it's not top priority for me. I'm like, well, just put it into one of my holes, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I committed to the bit and I made this person come, and I have it on camera so you guys can watch it soon.
Oh, that's beautiful.
My only blowjob to completion on camera was like under 40 seconds. And those are, as much as the viewer probably is like, well, I could have used another like minute, right? For me, as the blowjob giver, those are ideal. First of all, it's a compliment to the chef, right? I did such good work that it only took you, you know, under a minute. It was great. And then also, my jaw didn't have to get unhinged and locked back into place afterward. It's nice, you know?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Yeah, no, I mean, blowjobs to completion are like, I think mostly a commitment, but I'm really curious to see. These are all the studies I would want to do about sex over, and somebody's probably already done them, but I am like curious, like how many men report being able to come easily versus like it taking them a while, like from a blowjob. Like, you know, I like blowjobs. I love the feel. I think they're great foreplay. It's not my top like five ways that I want to come, but like I like a good blowjob for a little while, you know?
Okay, so I don't get blowjobs, so it's different for me. I just watched the video back. It took me 8 minutes and 45 seconds.
Oh.
So in my head, that was 3 hours. Okay? Only because it's uncomfortable. If there's something about being face down... And also, like, I can't swallow a cock if I'm on my knees, right? So there's so many different parts of me that are uncomfortable during a blowjob that it just is physically uncomfortable. And I think, you know, I can improve some of them on my own. But also, just to be honest, like, my knees hurt. I have a bad knee. Yeah. You know,
my laziest default blowjob position is like back against the wall. Like I'm sitting back against the wall, maybe a nice pillow back there. And my mouth is just open and you're doing the work, like, you know, and yes.
Oh, so it harder to take it in your throat at that angle?
It depends on the shape of the cock, obviously.
Okay.
I mean, like,
I'm going
to
try this,
but like, sometimes it's easier for me to, you know, adjust my neck. Obviously, I don't want to keep it in the same position if you have to, like, work with a curve. But, like, you know, that's on them, too. Well, not on them. Like, my whole thing is if you want to fuck this face like that, you're going to have to figure out how to get it at an angle that it will go down my throat. And that's your creativity. Because I've tried to do head over the edge of the bed. They all like it.
No.
They all want to fucking do it. But
yes.
Your balls get on my nose and I can't breathe.
Yes.
So that's a problem.
It's ergonomically unsound. I don't like that one. I'll do it for like the video or for like 30 seconds of like, this is funny. But like, if you want a blowjob to completion, it needs to be in a shape that isn't, you know what? I love you for so many reasons, but I'm moving this conversation to like slot number 3 because I might change my whole world. I'm going to do this. Okay. Stay tuned, everybody. The next blowjob I give, going to sit on the floor and put my back against the wall and be like, fuck my face.
Yeah.
And figure out how to get it down my throat. You're right. Yeah. Because all it takes is just a little angling on their part.
It does. It just takes a little angling.
Because I know what it's like to fuck my own face with like a dildo, right? And it's not working on this angle, so I take it at this angle, you know?
Yeah, I'm also okay depending upon like the height of the chair and everything. Like, I'm a tall person, so different things work differently for me. But if you're sitting on a chair in front of me and my back is against the wall too, like, I don't mind like moving forward a little bit. But like, the whole point is not to have to like, you know, really like be going downward. Like,
yeah, because you're like losing blood in your head.
And after a while, all the same things happen. Like, it's like your nose gets stuffy, like stuff like that you can bring through your nose for a while, but then when they start getting a little like rough on it, then like obviously you're getting like clogged up. And so like, when you're sitting back, it's kind of like, to me, it's like kind of the filthiest way to like give a blow job, because you're just like, fuck my mouth. And like, doesn't matter if the drool has come out, like your mouth is just open to like keep taking their cock drilling in your throat.
I will say this, the bent over, like the straddle position, which is like the standard blowjob position, I feel like they're laying down and you like, bent over them. I feel like the number one reason I like that is because when the spit falls out of my mouth, it's really hot. It's falling onto your cock
So
and not
yeah, no,
onto
that's
my
true.
tits.
That's true. I never
So
thought about that.
I will say that's my favorite benefit of the hunched over position.
Totally.
But I think in exchange for, because this is what happens for me. First of all, right now I am the heaviest I've been since I was like 19. And I'm also probably the weakest I've been in my upper arms. Like I have no arm muscle.
So
So
holding yourself up.
holding my fat ass up with one hand while I work it with the other hand as I'm sucking it, because I obviously am not a fucking 6-year-old. I know, oh, that's a terrible, take that out. I'm not a fucking idiot. I know how to suck a dick, and like, there's very few guys that are like, please don't work it with your hand at the same time, right? So I know what I'm doing and I'm using at least one hand. So I have to hold myself over with one arm. That gets tired, right?
Oh, I can't even do that
Like,
anymore.
but the other
That's
thing
why
is
I can
like
only give
plank for eight and a
hands-free
half minutes
blowjobs.
on one arm. Like, that's what it is. It's a plank. I'm fucking planking on you. And then the other thing is like my neck, my jaw, my lower back, everything is hurting at that point. So I think in exchange for all of that pain, I will drool down my tits instead, which is also hot in a
Well, and that's
different way.
I'm just saying it like it varies it up, because like look, I haven't used the hand for a blowjob in fucking years, like so like I'm a mouth only like cocksucker, like I'll just
Oh, I'm
be
sorry. My
too.
primary person I suck loves the hand. So
That's
I'm sorry.
awesome. No,
I didn't mean to say that you don't know what you're doing if you don't use a hand. It's just in this particular case, we
Yeah,
use
it's all
hands in this
about
house.
preferences. But to me, that's another reason why I wouldn't give them head like that. I would also prefer against the wall. I think it would let you
Sure.
control how it goes. Like like they all work. Now, not everybody can come standing up, though, I've come to
That is
realize,
true.
which is so unusual. Like I never thought about it. And I think it is because like the early practices we all get into, like with our own bodies and sex, and like it's almost always a bed or sitting down or like in the bathtub or whatever. Like, it's there's not so many occasions where you're fucking or coming standing up unless you're like some fucking dude wearing a flasher jacket, you
Or
know?
if your preferred spot was in the shower, if that was the only place you could jerk off was
True.
in the shower, you're usually a you can stand and comer.
Yeah. And I never used to and I'm saying this like partially from experience, because I severely for a long time had trouble coming standing up as well, probably until almost my 30s, that it was like
Interesting.
a very like I don't know, it feels too performative. I think like if you're standing up, you feel like there's a spotlight on you or something. Like, who am I doing this for? And it also just reminds me of like all the cruising jackers in the woods from when like I was a new gaby and being like, what is that man doing over there? What is
It's
that?
giving like flasher jerking off vibes. I got you.
I told you when I was like 20, I was in the woods somewhere in Massachusetts trying to take a piss. And like I remember there was only one vehicle in the parking lot, and it was an Ethan Allen furniture delivery truck, right? And so I go and pee, I didn't think anything of it. And like I was peeing, I found a good tree, like walked like a few feet in, and then when I turned around, there's Mr. Ethan Allen, like this
Mr.
cute little
Ethan.
pudgy man with his Ethan Allen delivery hat and shirt on, with his little tiny chode going to town, like staring at me peeing, and I was
Wait,
like,
so for the record, it wasn't actually Ethan Allen, correct?
The delivery company? No, not Ethan himself.
Well, you said Mr. Ethan Allen, and I'm like, for the actual record, for lawsuit purposes,
it was. I mean, this was. I don't even know
if Ethan Allen is a real person. I'm just making sure that we.
Oh, I don't know either, but I know it's like furniture I can't afford. So, like, I'm a Bob's Discount. Now, if he had been in the woods,
I was gonna say, listen, it sounds like you were just like one facial away from being able to afford Mr. Ethan Allen.
I was too like surprised, I think, and like, you know, it's one of those things that's comical when they're in their uniform. Now, over the years, I've seen millions of UPS drivers in the woods and like whatever, like it's kind of a regular thing, but like it was a very random day and a very like vibrant uniform, like a green hat. And
listen, when the consent is taken out, it just doesn't. It's not sexy, you know? Like, it's if that so guy bad. Had given you, like, the eyes first, and you gave him the eyes back, and now
and
he's
fapping. And if I wasn't
fapping,
actually trying to pee, I have, like, a horrible time. Like, I could be into water sports and pee for you if, like, that's our scene, but if I'm somewhere randomly trying to pee, and, like, you and start you cruising get... me and checking me out...
But that was beyond cruising. Cruising is... Well, yeah. Looking for it before you enter into the sexual scenario. You don't just walk around with your fucking chode in your hand, you know?
Exactly.
Like, you might adjust in your pants, but you're not whipping your dick out. That's fucking sexual harassment, you know? Even cruisers have some, like, proper ones have some level of etiquette, you know?
Right. And I haven't really seen that kind of, like, behavior in a while, like, in cruising. Yeah. I mean, like... Cruising, I always think, oh, it's a dying breed thing, and then, like, you realize it's not. So
it's not. There's just more, I think there's just more respect and a little more fear of, like, getting caught.
Well, and I think, you know, I definitely see, like, people expressing, like, what they're desiring in the situation better, you know, because, like, I think back in the day, it was kind of like, you're just trying to find someone to do anything with, which, you know, like, it's fine for, like, a 20-year-old, but, like, not as exciting for, like, my age.
Yeah, now you can advocate for, like, I want this or this. I think there's a less, there's more fear now in general because of cell phones and just ability to record
and everybody's recording. It's kind of like, I've never in the past 5 years, would you be all right if we recorded? And I'm like, not only
because
am
everybody
I
has
already...
a fucking OnlyFans now.
Yeah.
They're trying to upload.
No, I'm like, I know how this works now. But wow, that was like memory lane and blowjobs and scratchy throats. Wait, so that's the real reason you have a scratchy throat?
What?
Is that eight minute blowjob or no?
No. I was just on my roof with like pollen. That was a few days ago. No, pollen. No scratchy throat from that. Well, I had given him a very sloppy blowjob as a part of a scene for a custom for somebody. Mm-hmm. And afterwards he was like, I was very close to coming during that. So I made the rookie mistake of wanting to do that as the next scene that we film, and not that I didn't realize, but I was just like, well, like, no shit, it's gonna take you longer this round to come because I just took the cum out of you, but it still wasn't that long. I was very he only needs like an hour and like a sandwich, you know. He's not a he's not a long refract boy.
Give
which
me
is
an
nice.
Hour and a sandwich.
I think I got 4 videos and sex off camera out of him that day. That was nice.
Very nice.
I don't like to only do like the videos.
It's a good mix. Of course, because then you're just, this is my stud.
Well, I'm just not trying to like, you know, make somebody feel unappreciated. He wouldn't give a fuck. I just didn't want to record with his eyes because it's nice to not have to think about what you look like when you're fucking, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, again, like, it's I think it's probably why I'm like could always do porn okay is because I don't really think what I look like while I'm fucking. And I don't, and I'm not going to change that. Like, for a camera.
No, I love
camera.
That. Yeah.
Like, because I don't know how to do that really. Like, I can get into the moment and enjoy it. And if it's a scene, because I can do role play and I can do this, like, yeah. I'm totally down.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I think it's just like after so many years, your brain is sort of just trained. So in the scenario where I'm having sex with somebody else and say like they're holding the camera, all I mean is like not necessarily worried about what I look like, because in that moment I can't even see it, like they're holding the camera, right? But instead more so like just the fact that I can't like look into his eyes in that moment. I have to look at the camera lens, which is slightly to the left of where his eyes are, for example. And I try to switch it up so it's not completely, because I think porn, that I think it's hot in porn when the person is looking into the eyes of the person they're fucking and also switches off and looks into the camera, depending on the POV. If it's a static camera and a like a wide shot, I'm not looking at the camera at all. But if it's something where it's a POV, like that's the point, is you're supposed to put yourself in the place of that person. So I have to try, you know, my brain is trained to look at the camera, right? Whereas if I'm just fucking you, I get to just look into your eyes, which I like. So it's just one of those things where as much as like I'll say like, oh no, my porn is realistic and real, it is, but there are little moments where I'm putting on the porn act of like, oh, like I'm having sex in this position that I probably wouldn't be choosing if it wasn't for the fact that I want you to see the dick go out of me at this specific angle of camera. Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
True. So no, that makes sense. Those are practical adjustments.
And also,
really.
I've filmed you having sex on camera before, and I can with 100% certainty say that like you do not play to the camera at all. You are in that scene, and that's hot. I like. But it was also not a POV scene, where I feel like if you were holding the camera, you would play it POV, which makes sense too, kind of.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's interesting.
Remember that scene? That was so fun.
I do.
It was beautiful. I feel like we had a really good connection as director and star.
Totally.
For our one day of filming porn together. Oh, no, wait, that wasn't the only time, but the one day.
No,
whatever.
It wasn't the only time, but yeah, I know it's.
You know what I mean. I made you blush because you forgot about that, didn't you?
I mean, sort of. I mean, I sort of thought I was rolling through several different scenarios over the years. I mean, the more time that goes by, like, you know, the more. Scenarios.
Oh wait,
happen.
Are you not even sure which time I'm talking about?
Oh, I know which time you're talking about.
The wettest one.
Too fucking funny.
Holy tarps.
Like I'm trying, like, you know, everything, like, you know, I said this a few episodes back. I'm really trying to like everything I've ever read about like sexuality and aging and like whatever has been about, make sure you really like keep your head in the game of like, you know, being intentional about pleasure. And I think that that's, you know, it's important for sex, but it's important for everything. And we, you know, we all struggle for that. And I've gotten really like excited. I think as I've gotten older, I can articulate so much better in like ways that aren't, you know, what from your experience, you can almost handle any situation. So like you can go in with a new partner, an older partner, and really like kind of know like what it is they need or what it is you need. And if like what things that you need, they could give to you. So you're like it's mission mash of like, you know, and I've always loved that idea around polyamory, you know, obviously still being a thing that like, you know, people struggle with. I think more people actually practice it than we like hear about and know about.
Oh, sure.
I follow at this least, thing.
At least non-monogamy or swinging, for sure.
Yeah. I follow this thing about like called decolonizing love or whatever. And it's a polyamory.
I follow that too.
Page.
Yeah.
And like, I love like the way the conversations go there, because I love that there's they're allowing all the opportunities to understand the different ways that polyamory like can be and can manifest itself, while also like saying like somewhere in the thread of this like is like the respect thing. Like they did something about like, you know, if your polycule has more than seven partners, like you really need to think, is your needs getting met if like your partner has like six other partners? Like how like is that really like, you know, something? And like, you know, but at the same time going, you know, if it is, great, awesome, more power to you, lots of energy,
right?
You know?
But maybe also the person is a collector,
right?
You know,
yeah, you want to be reflective of that. Like it can be exciting, I think, for some too, when they get into to think, oh, I've got another partner and I've got this interest and I've got that interest, but like then that kind of changes like what the whole point is of like really kind of trying to experience this kind of different way of being with people, not just like intimately, but also like in friendships and all these other ways. It's, if we've had a more polyamorous like kind of perspective of friendships, like, you know, there would be less hierarchy and less like animosity in some friendships, sure. I think. And I think it's really hard for people sometimes to understand like, hey, that's my best friend. And like, you know, well, that's my best friend too. Well, how can you have two best friends? You know, it's like, the scarcity economy of life is like leads into all of our different relationships. And like, you know, to have friends that like understand and can talk to you about one aspect of your life, or lovers, and then a different, it's like a great thing to have. It's such a value add, you know, like, it's not like the quantity. It's like,
but
do you have people in your life?
Is the bridesmaids part, the bridesmaid party 17 girls, or is it like six, you know? And like, I think that's what you're trying to get at as far as like, you know, it's quality over quantity sometimes. Totally. Like, while it's really nice to be in a relationship with multiple people that serve multiple, you know, needs of yours and all different things.
Sure.
At the same time, it's like, well, how many? Yeah. I think you said it all. I don't think I need to add to it, but I will say that, I think that people, whether they're non-monogamous, polyamorous, or in a relationship that is monogamous by definite, whatever flavor dating that you're doing, I think the root of it is that you should understand why you're doing it that way. And I think that you need to come to that conclusion potentially with either self-reflection or therapy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to get a therapist that understands sex, sexuality, and relationships, especially the type that you're interested in pursuing. Absolutely. And I even mean that if you're looking into being monogamous, and I don't care if that's all you've ever known. I'm serious. Like, I don't think monogamy is for everybody. And I don't think until you explore the idea of what it would look like to be in a different alternative, quote unquote, relationship, I don't think that you should just enter into monogamy wholeheartedly and fully. I mean this only because I have a lot of friends right now that are in their, say, mid-30s, 40s, mm-hmm. that are having these epiphanies and self-reflective moments where they're realizing that monogamy is not for them. And it's not that their partner isn't fulfilling them. It's that having just even one partner could never fulfill them. And they're realizing this in these committed relationships, marriages, home ownership together, things like that. Sure. And they're like, fuck, what did I do? And it's okay to learn that later in life. I mean, you know, we all come to information at different times because of different things. But I'm urging people, especially before you get into these long commitments of any flavor, you look into why it is you feel like you need that type of commitment. And if it's possible, you might like a different form of commitment.
Well, you actually make a really good point, because what is it, the type of monogamy we're all like kind of trained on and brought up on is actually like pretty much codependence, where and so there's, in my head, there's a conflation, like monogamy is something, but it doesn't look like this thing that was described to us. That to me looks a little bit more like codependence. Like, if we wanted a truly like free and monogamous relationship, it would allow for so much like truth and honesty around desire and all these other things. And maybe it's not something you explore, but that's not what people practice when they practice monogamy. They practice right. like abstinence of other people, mm-hmm. like almost completely in that sense. And like
isolation.
And it's the parts about monogamy that people think that they like or need are, to me, just classic codependence, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm not saying you can't have a meaningful, like, progressive, open, amazing, monogamous relationship. I think you can. I've seen it happen.
Sure.
But I think going through what you said, it may not be everybody's default in the way that, like, when we listen to what we're described, it sounds like a scarcity thing. It sounds like you don't want to be alone. You shouldn't be alone. You know, if they're not paying attention to you. Well, if the why isn't
coming from a healthy place.
Right.
Right. Like, if you're like, well, I could do open relationships, but only if I wasn't jealous.
Yeah.
Well, that ding, ding, ding. What did I just say? We need to figure out why. Now, you may still come to the conclusion that you only want monogamy. But until mm-hmm. you get to the root of why you want monogamy, which is the jealousy, there's no room for you to be able to explore the other things.
Yeah.
You have to understand why it is that you have come to this conclusion and then work through that shit if it's a quote unquote issue. You know, if the root of monogamy for you is just, I like the idea of being with one person. Okay.
Right.
Like, cool. But if you're if the root of monogamy is I'd fucking kill somebody if they hugged my man, that's
I think that's
work on something.
that's actually a good way to describe it too. And I mean,
because I think when you said like what's the driving force of all of this? It's insecurity. It's insecurity that you need to work on. And I'm not saying that just because you work on your insecurity, you're going to change the type of relationship you're looking for. But I think that you may, you know, I went from non-monogamy to monogamy to non-monogamy.
Yeah.
And it was because I was secure. I was secure. No, I'm sorry. Let me say it in the right order. I was secure. Yeah. I was insecure. I was secure again.
Yeah.
And the secure again, and I'm not saying it's everybody's trajectory, but the secure again came from, you know, working on myself, going to therapy, etc. And now I can be back into the type of relationship that I prefer and works best for the type of person I am because I'm now not insecure anymore.
Yeah. Well,
that's just an example.
When you aren't insecure, you can articulate your needs a little bit better, right? And like, and again, it's like nobody's telling you to pick one of these. I think it's a combination. It's like, what are you learning is inherently something that you like and enjoy about yourself? Like not something different about yourself, but what things do you like? What features do you want your romance, like sexual, your friendship, like feel to be like? And if you have a prospective partner, you guys define that together. Because like, you know, to me, it's like a particular thing where it's like, no, it's not especially polyamorous if you're like just two people and like you're hooking up with people. But like, that's also okay. And who cares? And like, it doesn't, like everybody's trying to fit it in one box. And it's like, well, no, we're doing that. But like, perhaps we're like also looking for secondary people to date or whatever. And like, and that's up to us, what we're willing to explore, like with whomever the partner is, you know, like.
Yeah. I am 100% non-monogamous, but I am not polyamorous. I did polyamory one time. And it was fine, but I was young and I didn't really do it right. And I also have no interest in it as an adult.
Yeah.
Totally. Like as a fully formed human, I should say, I have no interest in it. And the biggest reason is because not to say that like one person could or couldn't, blah, blah, blah. The number one thing for me is that I simply have no interest in putting more on my plate. Like I could never do it. Even if I was like, I don't know. I just don't want to date more than one person.
Sure.
I have no problem it's having a big friendship.
It's a time and an energy commitment. It's a scheduling commitment.
I have to text two people good morning. Fuck off. Well, I have to schedule like my dates. Ugh.
Yeah. Boring. I mean, I can't do any of that. No, and I know. And like when people are like, when you have a primary, as soon as you have a primary and you find yourself, like, I'm more curious than people who, like, have secondary and tertiaries but are looking for a primary, meaning, like...
Interesting. Like, why wouldn't the secondary move up to primary? Oh, that's so confusing for me.
I've really tried to, like, in my later years, take, like, a full stop step back because, like, you know, words are just fucking words, right? You know, they become whatever you want them to mean in any given conversation, depending upon how you utilize them. Like, non-monogamy, polyamory, like, what I want to always be open to is just, like, organic interactions with people, whether they're friends, whether they're lovers, you know, and, like, and I don't want to be foolish about it, because I do think that is how, like, it gets kind of operated unethically. Like, if you have a long-term partner and you let yourself fall so over head over heels with somebody that like your commitment to that person is like dwindling, then I think, you know, you have a problem of like ethical sluttery, if you will.
Sure. Of course.
Because it's okay. Like, and it's like, it's not for me. If something organic happens and you're like falling out of love with a partner, that's a totally different scenario. But if you still love your partner and you're introducing like more romance in your life, you have to figure out a way to negotiate that. And that's always my preference, even for myself. Like, I want to flirt with somebody. I want to fall for new people all the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't want it to be at the expense of like, whoever is with me at the time has let me feel that I'm in a life that I can explore this, you know? And I think that's where, like, for sure, the respect comes from, you know?
I like that. See, like, I'm a Velcro relationship girly. So what that means is I'm like a little bear, and I'm going to cling to, like, a koala, and I'm going to cling to you. And I want your attention. I want your attention all the time. I would like your intention when you're inside somebody else. I would like your intention. Like, that's me. So I can't do that with more than one person. So in lieu of multi, I just have one person that can fulfill all of my fucking attention needs. Yeah. And I think I was very uncomfortable admitting that in the past. Because it's hard to admit that you are things that you once either made fun of or like looked at as like silly, right? And I'm not codependent, right? Like, I can spend plenty of time away from talking to the person.
Sure.
But what I mean is, when I do want that attention, I want it from just that person immediately. And, you know, like in that way where it's like... fulfilled and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I can't do all that with more than one person because I am either busy and can't, or I am already stuck to somebody else. So
it's totally about bandwidth.
I thought it was embarrassing for a while to like admit that I just, you know, to advocate for that. Like, I didn't know that it was okay to advocate for being like up somebody's ass, essentially. And it is okay. And there are people that will satiate said need. And then I'm up their ass. And then we can like talk about the people we're going to fuck together while we're like inside of each other and while I'm up their ass and around the corner. And it's a beautiful world.
Yeah.
I am very happy in that way where like I'm getting all of my emotional shit from one person. I'm getting 92% of my physical shit from one person, and then 8% is us being horn dogs together. I am like, that's my sweet spot, and that's where I thrive, and like, I can't be any happier.
I kind of feel like that is like the modern-esque, like, busy person's, like, reality. Like, especially if you're progressive and open-minded and you're not like, you know, doing marriage picket fence shit, then this is the reality. Is I'm doing this, I'm busy, I, you know, maybe in a different world it would feel differently, but this is what I can handle. And I think that it's, you know, it's really just a good like class analysis of like sluttery and polyamory and all of these things, because like, if you're busy, like, trying to keep yourself fed, engaged, housed, all those things, like, you don't have time to celebrate some of these. Like, I look at some of these people that like celebrate these like large polyamorous and like orgy, and like a lot of them are fucking academics. Good for you. But like, if I only had to like do X, Y, and Z and only had it, like, yeah, you're all busy. But like at the same time, you're living a non-traditional lifestyle that gives like a lot more like freedom and wiggle room to like have non-traditional relationships.
Sure. And you know what? Like for me, I can be up the ass of the person, especially because I've incorporated them into my job. So that's a piece of like, so it goes to what you're saying. It's a little different, obviously, than the polyamory stuff, but it's similar in that way of like, because of my non-traditional path in life, I like, there's never a day where there's a such thing as like no time for sex when sex is also work. You know what I mean? Totally. Like, it's
totally
what? So it's great. Like, that's great. That's very healthy for the ye old sex life, if you will.
Yeah.
So
no, for sure.
In a way, like, I get to celebrate, you know, like the good thing for me, I should say, is the busy life also includes sex, which is cool. Many people can say that. I sort of won the fucking lottery, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, BBW women, I'm looking at you. I'm trying to film with you. I want just beautiful, beautiful big women on my face. If you'd like to be there, hit me up to film with and whatever. That's all I have to say on the podcast ending.
Yeah, I like it. No, it's good.
I feel like I just kept rambling, so I just wanted to shut myself up.
No, it's good to end on a good, solid face.
I'm just like, I would love to film with women that looked like me. Mm. I'll say this, women and non-binary people. I just really want to film with people that are just like all about celebrating their bodies on their pages too. Like that's a big thing for me lately. I'm just like, yeah, I want to do that. So if people out there listening, or if you know of somebody that is in my area that films, that you're like, oh yeah, I'd like to watch you two suck each other's tits. Let me know, because I just, I have a couple people that I'm going to be filming with soon, but I can always use more
fuck yeah
pussy on my face
and where can they find you at
for wrapped around my head. Sorry. You know, online, Felicia Rose Raw on Twitter, and then People's Tramp on Instagram, right? Is that my name?
That'll get you there. That'll get them there.
You probably won't. I'm shadow banned, but whatever. Anyways,
shout out to the Netherlands. I don't know why y'all are listening to this podcast, but
the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Do we have an episode talking about the Netherlands? But like my pussy, I refer to it as
it's probably just all the conversation about pussy. Like, I feel like
the Netherlands likes pussy.
Yeah, I feel like the Dutch are like totally into it. Like Amsterdam all the way, whatever. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I love you.
That's hot. I've never been to Amsterdam. Why did I say it funny? I would like to in my life someday, I would like to work in Amsterdam as a whore. I would also like to work in Czechoslovakia as a glory hole girl. Those are my two goals in life. So if anybody out there listening can make that happen, let me know. I'm not kidding. Like, Aaron's going to get a text from me and I'm just going to be like, it's going to be from like WhatsApp. And I'm going to be like, sorry, I can't text you. I'm in the Czech Republic and my legs are strapped up and I'm getting pounded by 18 people in a row on camera and they're all going to come inside of me. Sorry.
This is hot.
I got a boner.
Yeah, me too. Thank God. Well, thank you for listening. It's like people are going to be like, wait, we waited how many weeks for this podcast? And I'm going to like talk it up so hardcore too. So, you know, hope y'all enjoyed. No, because we've been pretty good at being filthy. I mean, we are filthy people. When yeah, we don't. I've been
fucking, so that's the difference.
Oh, it feels so nice.
Once you fuck again, you become horrier.
Yeah.
I went back. I went from like insatiable Felicia Rose to like to insatiable Felicia Rose. It's full circle. Yeah. Full circle.
Yeah. Fuck that noise. Just be satiable. That's pretty hot. Felicia's got her lips in a perfect O formation right here.
So I was trying to like do the blowy thing, but I can never do it right.
No, me neither.
The blowy thing.
I have no. Wait, I thought you said you had a video of that.
I do. It's a good blowjob.
Beautiful.
It's very spitty. Ooh, that's who needs to sponsor us, the mints that I use in these videos to make my fucking cotton mouth water. Let's try to figure out how to make that happen. Beautiful. Write it that's on the beautiful. To-do list. I won't remember this, so I'm saying it on the podcast, so we don't.
I saw an empty pack of dude wipes in like the bathroom at college, and I thought of you. I was like, here's somebody who probably listened to the podcast, right, and dude wiped their whole jingle jangle in the bathroom before going
jingle,
to like...
Jingle jangle. They wiped up their kibbles and bits. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, I love it. All right, then. Oh, I really want to be sponsored by Botox for the asshole, too. Like, ooh. I was thinking, like, you know, this is, like, I was watching all the queens, like, do their trip to Fire Island, and they're all stopping out like this. So Saville has, like, apparently, like, a Botox and, like, whatever clinic right near, like, a block away from the ferry to go over
very
to Fire
smart.
Island.
Very smart.
I was like, oh, my God, Saville, there's nothing, hasn't been anything there for forever, and now they have, okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Yeah.
We love a Botoxed butthole around here.
Botox buttholes. It's beautiful.
I need a laser mine, to be honest with you. Okay, thanks for tuning in. Love you. Bye. Italian.
Okay, let me see. I was